Good morning, everybody. How are you all doing this morning? Okay, so before we do anything else, can we just give our L team leaders, where are all our L team leaders signing up for new season? Just raise your hands for me, please. Let's just give them a hand this morning. Man, you guys are amazing. We cannot do what we do as a church without our L team leaders. And this morning we're going to delve into this a little bit deeper, but really church cannot happen outside of the context of family and community. And that is why we value L teams, and that is why L teams are so important to us. And we're going to get into that a little bit this morning. Some of you might be wondering why I am dressed all in black. You know, it's not a funeral this morning; it's a happy occasion. But I'm dressed all in black this morning. I'll let you in. I'll just be open and honest with you this morning. I think it's a good time to start with that. This is my Christmas camouflage that I'm wearing this morning. I gained like 1 million pounds over Christmas. So apparently black is very slimming. So I've gone with a very strategic strategy this morning. I've gone with very skinny black pants, creating the illusion of skinny legs, which I do have. I've got like chicken legs. Okay. So very nice. I've then gone with a bulky black shirt, creating the illusion of, you don't know what's under the shirt. It could be a six pack. It could be anything. You don't actually know. So that's what I'm trying to do, and I think I've been very successful with that. Only problem is my face. Little bit of a double chin going right now, and I'm not quite sure what to do about it. That's why Chris Burns, our worship leader, has a big beard. That's how he hides his. But the biggest problem for me is the angle. This is the worst angle on the face of the planet. Nobody takes selfies like this. So you're seeing me at my worst this morning. I have thought of an idea that I'm going to speak to Pastor Zach. If we ever do get a new venue, I suggest that we get stadium seating, that I'm at the bottom looking up so that everybody can leave here going, my word, those guys at the cross have the most chiseled facial features I've ever seen in my life. So I think that's a good plan. Title of my message this morning is We Are Better Together. We are better together. Me and my 16-year-old daughter, this is our song. It's written by a guy called Jack Johnson, and the song is called Better Together, and I love the song, and it's such a cool message, and it's what I want to speak to you guys about this morning, is the fact that ultimately we are better together. It's not always easy. It's not always comfortable, but I want to tell you this morning that when we can come together in our diversity with our different opinions and our quirkiness and our different gifts and our different talents, when we come together with one voice, with one heart, with one spirit, man, it is something beautiful and it is something powerful. And I want to speak a little bit about that this morning. I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to listen to this very carefully. Here is the statement I'm going to make. If what you are hearing is not good news, what you are hearing is not the gospel. Amen? Oh man, that sounds a bit controversial this morning, but listen carefully. If what you are hearing is not good news, what you are hearing is not the gospel. The word gospel very literally means good news. And this morning, there's two things I want to speak about. It's two gifts that I believe God has given us. And if you look through the gospels, you're going to see these two words pop up over and over and over again. And look at these two words. The first word I want to focus on this morning is the word follow. The word follow. Wherever you read through the Gospels, you see Jesus always saying to people, follow after me. The second word you see very often in the Gospels is the word send. All over the Gospels, you will see this reoccurring theme where Jesus is constantly calling people to follow him, and then in time, that call evolves into Jesus sending them out. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're thinking to me, man, that sounds like work. That sounds like a burden. That sounds like you're asking us to do a whole bunch of things. But I want to say to you this morning that really, the ability to follow Christ is a gift that he has given us. There's nothing in this world that is more beautiful, that is greater than to be in a place where we are in a relationship with Jesus. The second thing he gives us, and I believe that he gives us this as a gift, is he gives us this morning, he equips us and he empowers us and he enables us to be sent by him. I want to say to you this morning that that is not a burden. As a matter of fact, nothing could be further from the truth. It is an absolute honor and it's an absolute privilege to be in a place where we can follow after Him and then Him equip us and enable us as He sends us out into the world. One of the things that's been so honestly amazing for me since I've moved to the United States is I've had the honor and the privilege, and especially in this church, to meet a lot of veterans. Amen. I've had the opportunity to speak and to meet and to have relationship with a lot of veterans, a lot of people that have served this country and that have put their lives on the line. And as a guy from the tip of Africa that doesn't know a lot about this stuff, you know, I always just watch the movies and to me it looks very scary. And to me it looks like, wow, that's hectic. Like who would voluntarily sign up for that? You know, it's kind of what's going on in my head sometimes. But you know, the thing that's been so amazing to me is I haven't met, and maybe they're out there, I don't know, but I have not met a single veteran ever since I've moved here that I've spoken to. When I ask them about their time serving their country, that they have not said to me it was the greatest opportunity, it was the greatest honor, it was the greatest privilege, and it was something that they absolutely will hold dear for the rest of their lives. And I want to say to you that maybe this morning when we start to speak about the call to follow Christ, the call to be sent out by Jesus, maybe this morning to some it might sound and look like a burden, but I want to tell you from the depth of my heart this morning that there is no greater privilege. There is no greater honor. Listen to this morning. When we follow Him, we will experience salvation, healing, restoration, and peace. That's just a few things, right? But listen to this morning. When we are sent by Him, we will experience joy, purpose, and significance. These things are unbelievably beautiful gifts that God has given us in our lives. And I'm going to touch on these things a little bit this morning. I've come to realize that in my Christian walk, very often I find that Christians sometimes fall into one of two categories. Sometimes we get so comfortable in the following. We get so comfortable in the relationship. We get so comfortable and we are so blessed by being in an intimate relationship and being in church and doing devotional time and, you know, learning the original Hebrew and learning the original Greek. We get so comfortable in the following part of our relationship with Christ that sometimes we start to lose sight and we start to lose our willingness to be sent. The other side of the ditch, and I tend to fall a little bit into this side, is sometimes people get so eager to be sent. They just want to go, go, go. They just want to reach, reach, reach. They just want to do a whole bunch of things for Jesus. They get so trapped on that side that the danger is that if you're not careful, you can start to become disconnected from the source. You can get to a place where you're no longer connected to Him, and it is a very, very dangerous thing if you're running around trying to do all kinds of things for God, but you're not connected to God. And so I'm going to speak about those little things this morning. And then obviously it is L Team Sunday. And I believe this morning that the way we access these gifts, the gift of following Christ and the gift of being sent by Christ, the way we preserve these gifts, the way we empower these gifts is we do it in the context of relationship, in the context of family, in the context of community. We do it in the context of church. And I'm going to show you a little bit this morning how when we do it that way, God can really come and do some great things through us. So first scripture I want to read this morning, it's out of the best book in the Bible. It's the book of Mark. It's Mark 1 verses 17. The most profound book in the Bible. It's science. It's technical. They'll tell you this. Scholars all agree on this fact. Mark 1 verses 17. Jesus at this point in time does something remarkable, and something remarkable happens in this story. And he approaches a bunch of people, and these people don't really know who he is. I want you to keep in mind that at this point in the game, Jesus had not performed any real miracles. Nothing significant had happened at this point in Jesus' life. So Jesus approaches a bunch of fishermen and he says this to the fishermen. This is interesting. He says to them, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. There's another translation that says, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Now, what's interesting is the Bible goes on to tell us that these men drop what they're doing. They leave their livelihoods behind. They leave everything they know behind and they follow this guy that randomly comes up to them and says to them, hey, I want you to drop everything that you're a part of, your ability to provide for your family. I want you to drop all of that, and I want you to come with me, and we're going to do a whole bunch of cool things. Man, you know, it's amazing for me how sometimes we read the Bible and we skim over some of this stuff and we don't actually think logically through, wow, how amazing is this piece of scripture actually? I want to paint you a picture. Imagine you're at the office. It's a Monday morning. You're sitting there. You're not absolutely thrilled about being there, but hey, it's what you do. It's how you earn your living. And through the door comes a guy. He's wearing a snazzy suit. He's got the same beard as Chris Burns. It's just shiny and glossy. He walks in there. And he says to you, hey, I want you to drop everything. Forget all of it. Throw it all in the window, man. No, there's going to be no medical aid. There's going to be no benefits. There's going to be nothing. I just want you to come with me, and together we're going to do great stuff together. Let me ask you this. Who of you at that stage in the game would go, man, this is like Jerry Maguire, but it's like the real thing. I'm in. Like, bring the goldfish. I'm in. We're going to do this thing. I'm willing to bet very few of us sitting in this room today would actually do that. But here's the thing, and I've read this so many times, and I've looked at this so many times. I believe that there was something in what Jesus said to these men that made them go, you know what? I'm willing to give up everything, or I'm willing to not give up everything, to experience everything in following this man. And Jesus says to them this. He says, hey, the same thing that you do with fish, I have the ability to make you a person that can influence and touch and change lives. If you come with me, I will give you a significance. I will give you the ability to touch and change people's lives. And I think that it is that call that resonated ultimately in the deepest, darkest places of their hearts where they went, you know what? Ultimately, I want my life to have purpose. Ultimately, I want my life to have significance. I believe this morning that if I had to ask every single one of you, and if I had to interview every single one of you one-on-one, and if you had to be honest with me, you would say to me, you know what? Ultimately, I want my life to count for something. I don't just want to float. I don't just want to get to the end of my life. You know, I was at a funeral once, and as they read through this lady's life, one of the things on the list was, and this was back home in South Africa, let's use DirecTV because it's equivalent. But basically, as they were reading over her life, one of the main points was she really loved DirecTV. And, you know, I just remember thinking to myself, imagine coming to the end of your road. And I'm not judging her. She was a wonderful woman. But at the end of the day, I believe that there's a deep cry on the inside to do something with your life that matters. And I want to say this to you this morning, that nothing leaves a greater legacy than living a life that touches and influences others. Nothing is more beautiful. Nothing is greater. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit later in my sermon. But I believe this morning with all of my heart that the start of any kind of significance in your life, real significance, eternity significance, starts by following Christ. It is when we follow Him. It is when we are in relationship with Him. It is when we connect with Him where He starts to do things to us and in us and through us that become significance. I will tell you this morning that there's a healing that no drug can fix that you can only get from following Him. There is a sense of relationship that no relationship outside of Christ can fix. You can only get it from Him. There are certain things that you can only get from following with Him. And I believe this morning that the way we do it effectively is we do it in the context of relationship and in the context of family. I tend to fall a little bit into the ditch of, I get so excited about running for God that I can very quickly get myself into a place where I'm not as connected to Him as I should be, where I'm not following the way I should. It's interesting in the book of Mark, and you can go read this, the word immediately is all over the place. Like, it's interesting if you go read it. It's like everything happened immediately. Immediately Jesus went. Immediately this happened. Immediately, immediately, immediately. And it's a little bit how I am. Everything needs to happen immediately. And if I'm not very careful in my personal life, what happens is in the midst of all the immediatelys, I can get disconnected very quickly if I'm not careful. Over the Christmas holidays, we were extremely busy as a family. We moved into a new house. In the midst of moving into a new house, I decided that I was going to redo the floors myself. Worst idea ever. Okay. I just said to Chris Burns, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to lift 600 square feet of tile by myself. I think it'll be a fun project. It's not fun. It's not a fun project. It's terrible. They do such a good job putting that on the concrete. Good job, tile layer people all over the world. You do an outstanding job with just keeping it on there. But it was a tough time for me. Christmas for me as a kid growing up in South Africa, it's the southern hemisphere, so it's summertime in South Africa. So in South Africa, man, it's like a cultural thing that it's almost like South Africa just shuts down for 3 weeks and everybody's at the beach. So for me as a kid growing up, Christmas was not necessarily hot chocolate and snow. It was, man, it was surfing and it was the beach and it was being with my friends. And over this particular time, over this particular year, and it was just tough. Linda was gone a lot, and I was at home, and I was moving, and it was stressful, and we were busy. And the more we got busy and the more things happening, the more my Bible started gathering a bit of dust, right? I'm not saying this ever happens to any one of you. This is just me this morning, right? I'm just talking about myself this morning. And it's amazing that the longer I tend to go where I think a lot by myself outside of the context of what God is saying to me, the more dangerous my life becomes. It's not good for me to do too much thinking. Amen? This is why I prefer to not think all that often, because when I do think, it can get very dangerous. And I was speaking to Pastor Zach about this. I started getting into that place by the end of Christmas where I was throwing myself a pity party. Have you ever thrown those for yourself? Woe is me. The world's coming to an end. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. I can't fit into my jeans anymore, so I might as well just have another slice of cake. Everything is over, right? I don't even like my hair anymore, and that's my best feature. I hate everything. Okay? So I'm in this place. It's a dark, ugly, dreary place. I miss home. I miss everything. Everything is just terrible. I don't get a Christmas present over Christmas. This is a real thing, actually. I didn't get one, which is terrible. Yes, no. I don't want to hear the little comments from the gallery. It was awful. It was awful. So anyways, about a week ago, I'm a desperate fool at the end of my rope. And I finally decide, you know what? I'm not just going to skim over my little daily devotional today. I'm actually going to spend some time with the Lord. I'm actually going to put aside every other thing. Kids are at school. I'm actually going to worship a little bit, and I'm going to get into the Word, and I'm going to get back to that place where I feel connected. I want to say this to you, man. It is unbelievable how spending time in the presence of the Lord just brings a clarity, and it brings a peace, and it brings purpose, and it brings significance. I want to tell you, I don't know how busy you are in your life, but please hear from me this morning. You cannot afford not to be connected to Him. You cannot afford not to spend time with Him. And it's amazing. I got out of this time. I was just with God for hours, and I got out of this time. And it's as I spend time with Him, it's like He just reminds me. It's like He just brings perspective. He goes, you know what? Let me remind you of where you once were. Let me show you where you are now. Let me remind you of the beautiful family you have. Let me remind you of the beautiful church you're serving in. Let me remind you just a little bit of who I am, what I've done, what I'm capable of, and where I'm taking you to. And man, I'll tell you what, I went from being a little bit in the dumps to, oh my gosh, God is amazing. God is good. Life is good. God is great. Let's go do this thing. And then immediately I was like, okay, God, send me. I'm ready to go fight again. But it's amazing how incredible it is to really just live your life. It's a gift He has given us to be connected to Him. But here's the problem. And just like with me, I believe that we're living in a world that is more noisy now than at any other time in history, right? Some people will say that, hey, this is not the most dangerous time to be alive as a Christian. Hey, they're not feeding us to lions right now, so we're pretty good. But I want to say this to you. We're fighting a different battle, and we're facing a different enemy. And the enemy that we face, I believe today, is the enemy of noise. Man, there's a lot of noise, right? There's just a lot of noise. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of messages. Life is constantly yelling and screaming and shouting at you from every single angle, trying to redefine you, trying to identify you, trying to give you a new purpose, trying to give you a new direction. And the problem in the midst of all the yelling and the screaming and the noise is, it is virtually impossible to follow somebody if you cannot hear them. Amen? If I cannot see you and if I cannot hear you, how am I possibly going to follow you? And I believe that we're living in a time and we're living in a space where, man, it's almost like His word and His voice and His heart is just being absolutely squashed by the noise. And it's just nonsense, right? It's not even anything of significance. It's just nonsense noise that squashes him out. This morning, I want to speak, I want to show you something here quickly. And it's a little fairy tale. Who doesn't like stories, right? I'm going to tell you a little fairy tale. And as I tell you this story, I'm going to illustrate to you this morning how important it is that if we're going to follow him and stay connected, we have to do it with people on the journey. Man, we've got to do it being connected to others. So here's the story. A long, long time ago, in a far-off land, man, this is such a beautiful story. There was a king, and he had a daughter, and the daughter was amazing. She was beautiful, she was gorgeous, she was great, she was the princess. And the king had a very big bank account, so he was great as well. So everybody was great. It was an incredible kingdom. And it was about that time where this king decided his daughter was going to get married. And back in those days, the king would basically put his daughter together with somebody. But he decided, you know what? I'm not just going to do this the old-fashioned way. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this. We're going to make a reality TV show out of this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a thing out there for every eligible man in the kingdom, and we're going to put them through a whole series of tests and events and challenges. And the last man standing is the man that will get to wed my daughter. It's a little bit like the American elections right now, actually. Okay, so there's going to be a whole bunch of things happening. Last man standing gets to marry the daughter. So there's a whole bunch of guys. They go through these tests. It's incredible. It's entertaining. And finally, we get to right to the end, and there's three guys that make it to the final three. And the king calls them to the palace, and they're standing in his palatial room area where the big chair is. Don't know what you call that. Reception room, maybe. Living room, the king's living room. They're in the king's living room, and it's very just great, and he's got a big crown on. And he basically says to them this, well done, you three. You guys have done well. The person now that can complete the final task will get to marry my daughter. But here's the task. I'm going to send all three of you into the dark forest. In this fairy tale, there's a dark forest that is really awful and terrible. It is very dangerous. It's a little bit like downtown Mandora after 10 o'clock at night. Okay, so this is the dark forest. So he says to them, there's a tower in the middle of the dark forest. I'm going to put my daughter in this tower, and whoever gets to her first will get to marry her. Very simple. But here's the thing, though. Every single day at midday, there will be a tune that plays from the tower. You've got to listen to the tune, and as you listen to the tune, you'll be able to find where she is. Very simple, very easy. I'm going to make it even easier for you. Every single one of you gets to choose one man in the kingdom that accompanies you on this journey. So the first guy gets his opportunity, and he goes, this is easy, easiest decision of my life. I'm picking the strongest, best fighting soldier in the whole kingdom. He's going to come with me. We're going to go in the dark forest. We're going to beat up everybody. I'm going to marry the princess. It's going to be awesome. Second guy gets his opportunity, and what he does is he chooses the smartest guy in the entire kingdom. He reckons, you know what, it's not just about fighting, it's about being strategic. The third guy gets his opportunity, and he thinks about it a little while, and he goes, you know what, I'm going to choose the best musician in the kingdom, somebody that can play music. So everybody's a little bit, you know, confused by his decision, but they're like, hey, it's a free country, or I don't know if that kingdom was free, but anyways, you get to choose. That's fine. So they get put into the dark forest. The first day goes around, and exactly what the king said would happen would happen. On the first day, exactly at midday, a tune started playing from the tower. It was awesome. It was incredible. It was loud. Everybody could hear it. It played for a little bit, and then the tune faded. Second day rolls around, and exactly at midday, the tune starts playing again, but this time something happens that nobody expected. And as this tune starts playing from the tower, 1,000 whistles start going off in this dark forest, all playing loud, different tunes, completely drowning out the tune coming from the tower. And this happened every single day, that as their tune played, all these sounds, all these whistles will come out of this forest, drowning out completely the noise coming from the tower. 4 days went by, and the third man got there first, the man with the musician, and he ended up marrying the king's daughter. The two other guys were never to be seen ever again. Later on, when this man was interviewed, they asked him for television purposes, listen, how did you do this? What happened? What was your strategy? And the man said, After the first day when that tune played, I asked my musician to play that tune to me over and over and over and over again. Day in and day out, all I listened to was that tune, so that at midday when the tune was playing from the tower, even in the midst of all the other noise, I could distinguish and I could hear the tune that I needed to hear and I could follow that tune. I want to say to you this morning that if we're going to follow closely after Christ, it is imperative that we do the journey with people that echo His voice, people that echo His goodness, people that echo His grace. It is imperative that as we live in a world that is loud and noisy and shouting and screaming, all kinds of things, it is imperative that we do that journey in the context of a family of people, a community of people, a group of people that all reflect who He is and what He has done. So that in those moments when we get confused, in those moments when we get pulled off of track, we've got witnesses all around us testifying and singing and shouting of the goodness of God and who He is and what He has done in your life. I want to tell you, man, I can't tell you how many times in my life I've gotten to that point where, man, I've just doubted everything. I've doubted everything. I've doubted Him. I've doubted myself. I've doubted what I'm called to do. And I can honestly say to you, I cannot tell you how many times when I got to those moments, thank you, God, that I was plugged into a community of believers that at that point were there to be strong when I was weak. Those people that could echo His voice, that could echo His love in my life, so that I can be pulled back onto track knowing, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm called to do. This is who my God is. Amen? That is why it is so important for us that we have L teams in this church. You know, I can honestly say to you this morning that for us, it's not just about, hey, all the other churches have cool small groups, so we probably should have one on the calendar too. It's not about that. It's about creating an environment. It's about creating a context where we can be coupled and paired and partnered with a community of believers, a community of people that all echo God's voice, God's heart, God's love in our lives, so that we can follow Him, so that we can benefit absolutely everything He has for us together in a community. I want to say to you this morning that we are better together. Luke 10, quickly, and I've got to move quickly here. This is such a cool story. Luke 10, verses 1 to 3, and then I'm going to skip to verse 17. Okay, so this is a little bit of random Bible reading here this morning, but I'm going to go 1 to 3, and then I'm just going to skip a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to 17. But listen to what happens here. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Again, I said this earlier. God will always gift us with two things. And I see this all over the gospel. God gifts us the opportunity to follow Christ. And then He gifts us the opportunity to be sent by Him. These are gifts that He gives us. It's an honor. It's a privilege. So in this piece of story here, He sends them out. Listen to this. Then He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Okay, so we go through the story now. This is the part I'm skipping. He sends out the 70. They go out there, and man, they just turn the city upside down. I want to tell you right now that if you're a follower of Christ and He sends you out on a mission, man, you are dangerous. Things can start to happen. So He sends them out, and look at what happens when they return. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. And He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I love this. I love how Jesus sends out the 70. And as He sends them out, and as they trust in His word, they become significant. They do incredible things in His name, and they come back filled with purpose, filled with joy, filled with absolute significance. And as they come back, they're so happy, they're so overjoyed that Jesus actually has to say to them, hey, relax. I know it's cool that you were used by me, but here's the deal. What's even more amazing than that is the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love how he actually has to bring a bit of balance because they're so overjoyed and they're so happy. I want to say this to you this morning, and again, just hear my heart here. I believe that part of the gift that God gives us in his grace is he gives us the gift of joy. He gives us the gift of purpose. He gives us the gift of significance. But some of us have gotten to a place where we are so comfortable in the following that we have at times lost our willingness to be sent. And I want to say to you that there is something that comes when God uses you to touch another human being that does not come from anywhere else. It is absolutely unbelievable. It is absolutely amazing. There's a joy and there's a significance and there's a purpose that we experience in God and through God when he uses us to touch a lost, a hurting, and a broken generation that I'm telling you, nothing else can touch it. Nothing else can come close to it. It is unbelievable. And I feel this morning, and man, this is not me trying to put a burden on anybody or me trying to rebuke anybody. This is me just sharing some of the stuff I've experienced in my own walk. But I want to say this to you. If you've gotten to that place where everything frustrates you, right? And we get there, right? Everything frustrates us. Man, the music frustrates us. The air conditioning frustrates us. The chairs frustrate us. This church frustrates us. That church frustrates us. Everything that looks Christian just frustrates us. You start even unfriending your Christian friends, right? Some of us have got, again, no, none of you, me. I've been there, okay? You get to that place where everything frustrates you. I want to throw this out at you this morning. Maybe, just maybe, you've gotten too comfortable in the following and you're not being sent the way you should be sent. Because I want to tell you, man, once you start being sent, once he starts using you to touch other people's lives, there is something, there is a joy, there is a purpose that starts to flood your life that you cannot substitute for anything else. And it's amazing how all the other things become insignificant when you start to be used by God in that way. It's absolutely incredible. I wrote this down, and I think this is very good, actually. Very good thing I said here. Listen to this. I said this. The most selfish thing you can do in this life is be selfless. Boom. Mic drop. So just tense. I'm saying one thing, but I'm actually saying a whole nother thing. It's actually just such a great little thing that I just said there. Being selfless is the most selfish thing that you can do. There is nothing that touches it. Living a life that is dedicated to others, living a life where you pour yourself out on the altar for others is the most fulfilling life that you're ever going to be able to live in this life. And I want to say to you this morning that there's a joy that comes with it. You cannot afford, hear me this morning, not to be sent by him because you are missing out. Now, I'm going to touch in the next second, I'm going to touch on the fact that when he sends us out, man, we touch and we change lives. That happens. But I want to tell you that as he sends you, he does something in you that nobody else can do. I remember when I was 19 years old, I was at home and I was praying and I cried out to God and I said to him, Lord, what does a prosperous life look like? It was just me and God having this little conversation. And I felt God lead me to this point where he was saying to me that the most prosperous life we can live is a life where we help others to fulfill their fullness. If you are going to live for yourself, you can look back on one life fulfilled. If you live a selfless life for others, you can look back on multiple lives fulfilled. That is true prosperity. That is true purpose. That is true joy. Jesus said it a little bit differently. He said it like this. He said, if you lose your life, you will find it. If you live a selfless life and you allow me to send you, you will make a difference. Two things will happen. The reason God chooses us to be sent in partnership with other people is because it not only protects us. So as he sends us out, you'll see so often he'll send them two by two. Jesus will call groups of people together because, man, when you allow God to send you, when you make yourself available, you're on the front lines. Some people are not happy when you do that. So God, just like with the following, God will protect you in the sending through relationship. It is relationship that preserves us. But not only does he protect us in relationship when he sends us, but when he uses us together in all of our diversity and all of our differences and all of our different giftings, when he uses us as one voice and one church and one body, I want to tell you that that brings more glory to God than anything else. It is incredible when one person does something great. But what is more significant than a group of different people with different attitudes, different gifts, come together and do one thing in one voice, in one heart, with one message? That testifies of a living God that is moving, breathing, and doing things in the world. I'm going to use one example, and then I'm going to close up this morning. But one of the nicest examples I can use this morning of God choosing not to use one person, but God choosing actively to use a group to do something, is the Bible. Talk about an incredible witness. Most other major religions, you will find most probably one author. When God put together the Bible, the greatest book ever written, the greatest tool ever given to us as people, no book, nothing else has affected the world more than this book, and this is how God chose to do it. God chose to get this book written in 66 books by 39 authors over a span of 1,500 years. Isn't that incredible? If I were to get 10 of you together in this room this morning and ask you serious questions about life, religion, politics, I think we'd be lucky if we had two of you agreeing on three things, right? And that's all of us in the same context, in the same country, in the same time. God uses 39 authors over a 1,500-year period, and he somehow still, through this group, writes a book with one message, one heart, pointing to one person, Jesus Christ. It is such a testimony of how amazing and how awesome and how great our God is, that he can do that. And man, we've got authors that are fishermen. We've got authors that are doctors. He uses a wide span of ordinary people, of special people, of significant people, and he brings across one message. I want to say to you this morning that being sent in the context of relationship not only protects you, but there is nothing that glorifies God, I believe, more than when he uses us together as the church, as one voice, as one body. Nothing speaks more volumes to a broken and a lost world than a united church and a united body and a united family, where all kinds of people from different places, different ages, different thinking can come together but reflect one man, the man Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible this morning? Jesus said this, and this is the last thing I will say. I want to say this. We are better together this morning. He said this, John 17, verses 21. And I think I've said this every time I've preached on this topic, but I think it is so beautiful. This is Jesus' last prayer for us as the church. And he says this, I pray they all will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Not only does Jesus equip and enable us to follow him and be sent by him, but he did the exact same thing for us. As he followed the will of God, he was willing to be sent into this world so that he could set us free and give us the same opportunity to make a difference. This morning, it's not a burden, it's not a command. It is an absolute honor and it is an absolute privilege. It is a gift from God that God has said to us, I give you the opportunity to be in a relationship with me, to follow me, to be sent by me, and to do all of this in the context of family. That's what God calls the church this morning. And that is why we are so passionate about L teams. That is why we are so passionate about making a difference. That is why we are so passionate about giving every single person in this place the opportunity not only to follow Christ, but to be sent by him in the context of family and the church. Amen? Let's stand this morning. Father, I just want to thank you this morning for who you are in this place, Lord. Father, it absolutely just blows my mind how amazing you are, how great you are, how gracious you are this morning, Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning that because of what you did for us on the cross, Lord, we can follow you this morning, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we can be in relationship with you this morning. And if there's anybody in this place this morning, Lord, that maybe this is their first time to church, maybe they've heard of Jesus before, maybe their parents were Christian, Lord, maybe it's been a part of their culture. But Father, this morning, I want to pray for anybody in this place that have never really connected to you, Lord. As I spoke this morning and as I spoke about being connected and following you, Lord, you started tugging on their heartstrings this morning, Lord. And you showed them that there is a hole, there is a void, there is a gap, Lord. Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you just start to just absolutely welcome people into the faith, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you touch and change people's lives in this place. I thank you, Lord, for a healing in this room today, a restoration in this room today, Father. Father, as we speak about relationships this morning, Lord, I'm burdened to pray for relationships this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will start to heal and restore and put back together relationships, Lord. Give us the courage to confront where we need to confront. Give us the boldness to forgive where we need to forgive, Lord. I pray, Father, that you make us one, Lord, this morning. I thank you, Lord, this morning that even as we spoke, that you just start to give people a picture of what it looks like to be sent. Maybe it's volunteering in the nursery. Maybe it's saying hello to a neighbor that moved into the street. Maybe this morning it's even something bigger than that. But I thank you, Lord, that you start to give people pictures this morning of what it is you're calling them to do, where it is you're sending them to, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the honor and the privilege to be called into a life of service for you, Lord. Let us pray together this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespass against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.